We start with local government. The Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock. They will hear from the public on a proposal to strengthen stormwater management requirements to account for stronger 100-year storms. They'll also hear a plan to adjust lighting requirements of the Aura development at Estes and MLK. You can get the link to the full agenda at our website, chapelboro.com. Looking ahead to the general election now, primaries are mostly wrapped up in North Carolina. State House Minority Leader and Chatham County Representative Robert Reeves recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill about that transition to general election form.
I mean, at this point, every month is October. And what that means is, I mean, you've got to take every single day and use every single minute that you've got available. My campaign staff and I were talking going forward about doing things across the state. We're talking about what we've got to do, obviously, in district. But, I mean, it's just a lot of work. I mean, when you think about it, if you look at the last couple of election results, you've basically got 5.5 million people who are participating in the voting franchise. We expect that to be a larger number this year. So if you say 6.5 million people, you just got to figure out how to get to them. Because, again, it is shocking in some senses what people's ideas are. There was a poll this morning with WRAL that was talking about the fact that nobody likes any candidates. And, you know, and so a lot of what we got to do on our side is make people understand it's a binary choice. This isn't going to be one of those things where, hey, if I sit out this election, then something good is going to happen. When you sit out the election and somebody that you don't like just got to vote.
Representative Robert Reeves speaking there. Find the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of chapelboro.com. Over to campus now, where North Carolina offers a clear example of how college campuses can be at the center of political attention, both for those attending the schools and those who wish to use the institution and community as a platform for their beliefs. But how did such culture wars get so ingrained in our college campuses and election cycles? How do experts even seek to define the culture wars being claimed? Walter Rinke filed this report for UNC Media Hub.
Culture wars, it's not a term of art.
It's a term that gets thrown around a lot, and it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To Dr. Kathleen Culver, director of the School of Journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, it's about talking politics.
The sort of public battles over what should and should not be accepted practices in the country.
Partisan politics has been a feature of American life since its founding. But Culver says it hasn't always been a war. She puts the start point at 1987.
I would actually put it at the removal of the fairness doctrine from the FCC.
She says this led to the rise of talk radio, especially on the right, which then led to things like Fox News and social media algorithms.
That, to me, is the point in time where we really learned the capitalist lesson that enraging and polarizing people can make a lot of money.
Eventually, the culture war made its way to college campuses. Dr. Daniel Classic, an education professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, says that's because of the unique role universities serve.
Universities, though, are one of the few places in society that really force people together in a way that kind of we don't see elsewhere. And so that really makes them a place that is kind of ready to see many dimensions of culture wars play out.
For some students, campus is the perfect place for those to play out.
College is a unique time and experience where we have the freedom to do so, and in our fact, in my opinion, are encouraged to do so.
Colby Kelly is a sophomore at UNC. He's also a writer for the Carolina Review, the campus's conservative newspaper, and the co-president of UNC's Turning Point USA chapter. He defines the culture war as ideological clashes, often about cultural or social issues. On campus, that often plays out through things like protest or speakers. And Kelly wants to see more of those events. But other students aren't so thrilled about the culture war on campus.
I think students are fed up. I think this agenda of culture wars, this platform of banning drag shows, you know, demonizing people because of their gender, because of their race, because of their sexual identity.
Sloan Duvall is the president of UNC Young Democrats. In her view, the culture war is a set of policies pushed by the Republican Party and doesn't belong on campus. One thing she does agree with Kelly on, that the university has taken a neutral stance. Classic says that's often the goal of universities.
They know, especially the public ones, that they are a place for like all of the people in their states, right? That everyone should feel like they have a place there.
But even if they try to remain neutral, Classic says it's unlikely the culture war goes away.
I think the key takeaway, right, is just that because of kind of this unique space that universities hold in American society, they really become a focal point for all of people's kind of anxieties and concerns about kind of broader things that are going on in the U.S.
I'm Walter Rinke reporting.
UNC Media Hub is an advanced course in the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. You can find more stories like that from student reporters this spring semester by going to mediahub.unc.edu. Keeping it on campus now for a couple of bits of good news. University recently received a $10 million gift from an alum to promote the humanities on campus. The donation will fund scholarships for humanities majors. The donor, Stephen Israel, says it's just the first step in a larger effort to raise $100 million for humanities education at UNC. Also from UNC, Howard Lee, former mayor of Chapel Hill and North Carolina senator, is one of four special guests UNC will grant honorary degrees for during its 2024 spring commencement ceremony on May 11th. Lee was the first black mayor in a majority white southern city in the United States in the 20th century. He'll be honored along with Michelle Dorrance, Deidre Epps, and Richard Stevens. And again, that's at the May 11th commencement ceremony at Keenan Memorial Stadium. Time now to talk sports, and we'll start that sports conversation by talking basketball, of course. Tomorrow is game day for UNC men's basketball. Top-seeded Tar Heels will take on 16-seed Wagner, who needed every last second to stave off a comeback from Howard last night in Dayton. It's going to be in Charlotte at 2:45 tomorrow, Wagner and UNC. Carolina will be seeking their 22nd Final Four appearance. It would be their 8th national championship if they're able to string together enough wins. Head coach Hubert Davis said he's breaking this journey up into smaller pieces for his group, one which is relatively new to March Madness. Here's what he had to say on his weekly radio show on Monday.
Instead of looking at it like 68 teams and you got to win six games to win a championship, I learned this from Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge and Coach Williams just to kind of break it up in parts. And so I said, look, right now the only thing that we need to focus on is the Charlotte tournament. We're going to Charlotte and we're playing either Wagner or Howard. And if we're good enough, then we'll play the winner of Mississippi State and Michigan State. Let's have our focus on winning two games in Charlotte. We win two games in Charlotte, then we'll get invited to the Los Angeles tournament. And then let's go to the Los Angeles tournament, and whomever we play, let's see if we can win those two games. We win those two games, and we'll get invited to the Phoenix tournament. And then put it like that. And I just feel like that's a great way to just get the guys to focus on the most important thing, and that's the thing that's right in front of you. That's Wagner and Howard, and instead of, you know, looking at other things.
Coach Hubert Davis talking there. Of course, we do now know it will be Wagner who the Tar Heels will face on Thursday. You can check out chapelboro.com for more coverage of Carolina and the NCAA tournament. Some other sports results. Women's golf team tied for second in a 15-team field. It was at a tournament out in Hawaii. The Diamond Heels had another good day. They mashed UNCW 11-0 out at Bosch Emmer Stadium.